Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that blessed us so far this week. We ask thee, pray special blessing upon those whose names have been mentioned, that the healing grace will be bestowed upon those that are in need of restoration of their health. If not, Lord, we ask that thou would reconcile those to thy holy will. Father, we thank thee, Lord, for all things that are well with us.
I didn't think to mention Brother Sam. Has anyone heard from Brother Sam this week? Okay. The last I heard, he was doing much better, but I hadn't talked to him. I'll have to get in touch with him tomorrow. Okay.
I think he has a problem knowing how to answer his phone.
Yeah.
He usually calls you back.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Tonight, if you'd like to turn with us, you'll find our beginning text, at least, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we prayed about what to speak about tonight, we've here of late, we've dealt a lot with the fruit of the Spirit. We have examined what it is and the need for us to be bearing that fruit. And I want to just kind of go on from there. And I want to notice some things that the Apostle Paul was impressed by the Holy Spirit to write to the church at Thessalonica. You know, that church began in a lot of affliction. But when you read, you find that Paul just rejoiced because of the fruit of the Spirit this church was bearing. Okay? So, as we think about, we won't encounter all nine of the things mentioned as fruit of the Spirit, but you know, that's not usually the way it goes anyway, is it? As we live life, sometimes we need to be patient with somebody. As we live life, sometimes we need to be loving. Sometimes we're by ourselves and we're thinking about the things of the Lord and we're just joyful and enjoying the peace that we have with Him. Sometimes we see, maybe we may know of a conflict that others are having, and maybe we can speak a word to encourage them to cease from striving with one another and to try to live more peaceably among themselves. So life presents a lot of opportunities for us to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in some combination or singly or however it comes. But Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I tell you, that warms my heart. Every time I read that Paul had labored among these brethren, he had sent those to see them, to see how they were doing, and when they came back, they gave such a wonderful report. And you know that just rejoiced the heart of the Apostle Paul, that his labor was not in vain, but that the Lord had used him, and that though he had suffered much affliction, yet in ministering to these brethren, what a blessing that the word, if you keep reading there in chapter 1, the word was sounding out in all the area. Oh, that it would be such as that with his church today. The local assembly would be manifesting such love and such faith and such peace and joy that others would want to come see what it's all about. So he goes on to say, as he gave thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, three things. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. It's of faith, right? Okay. And labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul puts this in obviously by the inspiration of the Spirit, but he frames this good report that he had had from them in these three things, a work of faith. And I've already emphasized it's a work of faith. So obviously we know that we have to have faith. We have to be born of the Spirit and have faith in order for these kinds of works to come forth from us. All right? But we're the variable, aren't we? We're the ones that, God's always good, but we're the ones that sometimes we're joyful and sometimes we're not. You know? And you can go through all the whole list. All right? But he frames it in these three ways. First of all, so we want to notice the work of faith. So without faith, these good works wouldn't happen. All right? This work of faith. Without faith, I'm afraid we'd be more accepting, or very accepting perhaps, of ungodliness in our lives, because the presence of the Holy Spirit within us leads us and convicts us and gives us a new set of faculties, a new awareness, a new life. So that we can see the kingdom of God. Now we can feel the love of God. Now we have the love of God in us. Being born of the Spirit. New eyes. You know what I mean, spiritually speaking. New eyes, a new heart. New ears. A new love. And a new appetite. And that appetite is important. We can, when you feed that appetite with the right things, not just the reading of the word, although that's highly important, isn't it? I mean, we feed on the word of God, but we also need to be praying on a regular basis. We also need to be looking for opportunities to minister to those around about us so that we can bring forth that fruit, right? Okay? So, when we have that new appetite, you can feed it the wrong things, and that appetite starts getting less and less and less. And that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? To have less and less of an appetite for the things of God. Now, you're still a child of God, but I'm just saying, you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap of the Spirit. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. That's an inescapable principle that God has given us in His Word. And so it's just so far-reaching. I mean, in so many ways we do that. And so if we don't, you know, it's like someone said one time, if you don't like the harvest you're reaping, then look what kind of seed you've been sowing. Right? So that appetite is so important. And so we need to maintain those things which would be good and profitable. So as Paul will write to the brethren at Philippi, chapter 2, he told them to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we need to be listening to the Lord. We need to be looking for His will. We need to be following in His way. All those things so that we can work out what He's working in us. The mind, we know that the Spirit of God is always going to follow the Word of God. And so the more we're in the Word of God, the more we're reminded what the Spirit teaches us, and so forth. All right? So the born-again child of God wants to be delivered from sinfulness. You know, Paul said, the good I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. He had this, even the Apostle Paul, all right? He was a sinner just like us, right? So, but he had that old flesh nature he had to contend with. All right? To the contrary, those who are not born of the Spirit of God, it seems they want to be delivered from God. You know? Because enmity, there's enmity there. And so that's the desire. So what constitutes these works of faith? Paul said he thanked the Lord for their work of faith. Well, what would constitute? I can't go through a complete list because, you know, there's just a variety of ways that it could be manifested. But let's think about this for just a moment. Faith works in us to do godliness. It works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. I think I've quoted this some here lately, but 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, but refuse profane, that's things that are against godliness, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Okay? For bodily exercise profiteth little, meaning for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things. In other words, there's a benefit. It's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to add to your life. That kind of profitability. You know, as opposed to being vain. Vanity. Vanity is empty and unprofitable. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. All right? And also, if you keep reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is exhorting the brethren to walk worthy of God, who had called you unto His kingdom and glory. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So as we hear the word of God, and we've got the Spirit of God working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and when we hear the truth of God's word, it witnesses to the Spirit within us, and it causes our heart to rejoice. And hopefully it teaches us, and hopefully it reminds us of those things that we need to be doing in a work of faith. All right? Now, let's think about the church at Ephesus for just a moment. The church at Ephesus had powerful, powerful, powerful preaching. Wonderful teaching. All right? But the last mention we have of the church at Ephesus, do you know how that went? They had left. Now, I'm not, hang in there with me. I'm coming back to this work of faith. All right. They had left their first love. Wow. Wow. The first thing that tells me is, boy, you better be careful. Not to think too highly of ourselves. What did Paul say, Romans 12? Not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. But think soberly, righteously, and godly. Okay. So first of all, we see that the church at Ephesus, though they'd had wonderful teaching, powerful teaching, absolute truth, the last mention we have of them in the New Testament, if I'm right about that, is they'd left their first love. Now, that does the last mention, it didn't say it was all over, because in all those messages to the seven churches, now, Philadelphia accepted because there was no rebuke to that church. But to all of those other churches, the Lord stated the problem, but he also gave them a remedy. And if they didn't follow the remedy, there would be a judgment or a blessing. I'm assuming he would pronounce the blessing. All right. So to the church at Ephesus, who had left their first love, obviously, now, and if you read it, well, let me just do that. Revelation chapter 2. What I'm trying to talk about is works of faith. Listen to how much was said to the church at Ephesus about their works. Okay? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All right, so he's got the ministry in his right hand. He walks among the churches. Okay? I know thy works. And he knows ours today. Okay, listen to how, I mean, there was a lot of working going on in this church. And this is during the time when the Lord's going to give them some rebuke. All right, I know thy works and thy labor, that's works, isn't it? And thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I mean, there's a lot of good things here. All right? And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Wow. I mean, that's very commendable. Nevertheless, something's coming. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, he didn't, notice He's not saying those other things are bad. But there's something about it that's not right. And it affects all of it. Okay? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. If there's a problem with love, there's a problem. With all that the Word of God teaches us, you know, Paul's told Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So there's quite a variety of ways that the Word of God ministers to us. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good what?
Works.
Works. And going back to the church, the epistle to Ephesus, Paul had told them, speaking the truth, all of this truth and all the ways that we have to apply the truth, whether it's just teaching or whether it's reproof or rebuke, speaking the truth in love. So there was a lot of good things going on at the church at Ephesus, but there was something missing. Something was missing the mark with their love. They'd left their first love. Well, that has to be our heart. The condition of our heart toward the Lord, right? When you first are blessed to come into a knowledge of the truth, and sometimes we talk about that season of love which we had, and there's seasons that we go through in our life, and sometimes life is dry, and sometimes we're just rejoicing in our heart. But God's always the same, so we're the ones that goes through the hills and valleys. Okay? First love. The best love. Keeping from the letter of the law and keeping from just the teaching of principles, but loving the Lord in all that we do and showing His love to others. So it's interesting that the problem the Lord had was they had left their first love. And I understand that to mean they weren't showing that love the way they should to the Lord first and to others. And that's the way the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So first and foremost, we're to love the Lord. And it ought to show. Yeah? That's the first thing mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. So love needs to be coming forth from our hearts and how we deal with others. So it's interesting when the problem was that they'd left their first love, when he gives them the remedy, remember what that is? First of all, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. In other words, if there's a problem, it needs to change. And it's not just words of saying I'm sorry, but it actually is making the change, making the turn, correcting the problem. So, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works. Seems to me The first works are things that we're doing when the first love, we've got that right in our hearts. Okay? We're loving the Lord, serving Him first and foremost, trying to do His will, desiring to do His will, wanting to please God, wanting to walk by faith, wanting to do all of those things which the Spirit would works in us, both to will and to do, of His good pleasure, so that we can let our light shine and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, so that others can see it. They see the fruit coming forth in our lives out of the love that God has planted within us, and we're manifesting that love to others. And what we're doing when we do that, to me, is the first works. Now, there may be ways of defining, you know, this a little bit differently, but I'm just taking my simple approach to this. And when we've got the first love right, we'll be doing the first works. Okay? So, then he gives them, or else. And evidently, or else, he says, the or else is, or else, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Unless things change. And you see, God always looks on the heart. He doesn't listen to the words. He looks on the heart. So he knows precisely whether things have changed. Now, we can surmise, since the church no longer is in existence, the building's still there. You know, Brother Terry Sesko down at St. Andrew, when he was still working with the military, he flew over to Turkey and had some work to do, and he went and visited the building that was the meeting house for the church at Ephesus. Still there. The meeting house. The candlestick was removed. You know, like so many other things, when we finally realize something needs to happen, usually we can see God was already at work. You know, you know what I'm talking about. I have to believe that what the Holy Spirit impressed the Apostle Paul to write in his epistle to the Ephesian brethren. Had they followed that, had they listened, had they done those things according to what the Spirit impressed Paul to write to them, I just have to believe that things would have been better. Now, I can't sit in judgment on that matter, but I'm just saying, the Spirit, who is absolutely right, and the message that was sent to them was by the Holy Spirit, so it was God's will from first to last. Had they paid attention to what the message that was given to them and majored on doing those things? You know, like a lot of you, I've been reading and studying the book of Ephesians for a long time. I love the book of Ephesians. I mean, I love all the Bible, but there's just something that the book of Ephesians does to my heart when I read it. Amen. It just warms my heart. It encourages me. And then to end up in chapter 6 with that armor that God has already provided for us, that we can just get out there and face the battle and do the things that's pleasing to Him, knowing that the Lord's going to take care of the consequences. Wow. That just does something for me. And I just believe that the Spirit gave what they needed to hear and do And so when they were reminded later on, if they had repented and done the first works, you know, God would have blessed them, because he said he would. They would do that. So the work of faith, when we're walking by faith, when we're living by faith, you know, when we're following the faith, the word of God, when we're trying our decisions based upon what the word of God teaches, when we're praying and asking the Lord what way that we should go, bless your hearts, that's walking by faith. That's works of faith. That's what we need. That's the kind of lives that we need to be manifesting to others around us to be a good example for them to follow. All right? Work of faith and labor of love. Well, let's see. Work and labor, that's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Okay? But if you look at the words, the work of faith that, you know, I can give you a word from the Greek, but I might not pronounce it correctly, so that's okay. But ergon, and it emphasizes the effort, the work of faith, that we're doing those things which are led of the Spirit, those things which would be pleasing to God in the work of faith. And it's the energy being expended, that work of faith, that word work there focuses on that. But when we get to labor of love, the focus is more on the continuance of it, continuing to do those things. Kopos, K-O-P-O-S, the toil, the travail, the continuation, the labor of love. You know, we want to do what's right in our work of faith. And when it's something that we need to continue to do and to continue maybe to help somebody or to encourage somebody, how much love we have for that person has a lot to do with how long we labor with them. And so that labor of love, the more, there's more emphasis here on, it's certainly the emphasis on love, but there's more emphasis on continuing the work, continuing the encouragement, continuing the patience, continuing whatever we need to do to continue to show that love. Aren't you thankful that God is long-suffering? Oh my goodness. The longer I live, the more I appreciate the long-suffering of God and his mercy. My goodness. And so we have that labor of love. Showing love for and to God and showing it to others. It's what we need every day. And then patience of hope. Patience of hope. You know, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When you lose hope, it weakens you, don't it? I mean, you're just sinking. But when the desire cometh, when there's something that changes, when there's something that gives us hope, it's a tree of life, Proverbs says. A tree of life. So when we think about this patience of hope, all right, let's illustrate it with Colossians 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If I put too much emphasis on the things of this world, the circumstances around me, what people are doing, I'm going to get discouraged. You know, trusting in man is just not what we can have. Now, you can have friends, you can be faithful to one another. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our dependence is in the Lord. His ability, his strength, his mercy, his grace, his wisdom, all the things that our Lord is. And when I can think about that, I get encouraged. Because, you know, even of the Lord, Isaiah 42 says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. You can't say that about man. All right? But you could say that of the Lord, and you could say that every day of the Lord, because it's always the truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. You're not going to surprise him. Nobody's ever going to catch him off guard. Nobody's ever going to come up with anything he didn't think about already. Nobody's going to come up with anything that's too hard for the Lord. You see, all of those thoughts help us to be encouraged in the Lord. And the more I keep my mind settled upon his ability, then it saves me from thinking about my inability. And that helps me to be more patient. More patient. Sometimes patience in the scriptures, well, you've got the word long-suffering. Now that's in some respects, you know, some people would use the word patience. But long-suffering is when you're suffering long with somebody, with other people. Patience oftentimes has reference to your circumstances. And life circumstances oftentimes are not good. There's a lot of things in life that could drag us down. And that's why we need to keep our mind and our heart upon the Lord. That's why we need to keep our nose in the book. That's why we need to stay on our knees and praying to the Lord for the help and strength and grace and wisdom and guidance and all that we need, because we face things we don't have the answers for. But I can rest completely in the Lord, knowing that he knows exactly what we need. He'll always know exactly what we need, and he'll always be able to provide it at just the right time. Patience of hope. Because what it all boils down to is that when this life is over, because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross and came forth from the tomb, bless your hearts, because of what he has done, and that was all according to the purpose of the Father, that he purposed before the foundation of the world. When this world is burning up, bless your hearts, he will have taken his people home to be with him. Tell you, when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 13, when Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We don't have to sorrow like that. We have hope. God has given us that hope, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So bless your hearts. No matter what we have to face in this life, you know, things could get bad. I mean, you've read circumstances in other countries in past ages where God's people were persecuted terribly. And it's, and I don't like to think about it, but it's good for us to be reminded of that on a regular basis. You know, yeah, we've got some challenges to us in our day, but I don't think it's anywhere close to what a lot of our brethren have had to face in the past. So there's reason for us to be encouraged. God is able. God is able to deliver us in whatever the circumstance might be. But bless your hearts, what Christ has accomplished for us through God's holy will, sending his Son, suffering and dying, redeem us from our sins, rising again for our justification. Bless your hearts, when we see all, and we remember all that he's done for us, that no matter what we have to face in this life, we know we are secure in him. Sister Dean, I think before church you mentioned the fact that not only are we in his hand, but we're preserved. We're preserved in Christ. And what Jude tells us? Preserved in him. Nothing can separate us eternally from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, by the Spirit, Paul was commending this church for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. It was manifested. Others could see it. And they were rejoicing in it. The sound, Paul would say later in that chapter, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Wow. Their faith was sounding out. All right? So, their labor, their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. It wasn't easy. The environment in which they lived, there was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of struggle. But they were faithful to God. They were loving him. They were doing what was pleasing to him. They had turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son. You know, we got fellowship with them. That's what we're doing. It's been a long time since that was written, but we're doing the same thing tonight. We're trying to keep ourselves from the things of this world, and we're trying to love God, and we're trying to serve him as best we can while we wait for him to come again to take us home. You know, and so there's been a lot of brethren between us, between those brethren at Thessalonica and us tonight, and we're all have been doing the same thing, waiting for him to come again. And someday he will come and will not tarry. Someday he's coming in the clouds. Someday, you know, like he says over in chapter 4, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Believe that? I do. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So when they rise first, they're going up to the clouds. He's not coming back here to set up some kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. He did that. He set up his kingdom. Acts chapter 2, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he speaks about how that... Let me get it. I'm missing a word. Acts chapter 2. Peter says, I can find it. Peter said, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. How's he going to do that? How did he do that? Are we waiting for him to do that? No. The word tells us he's seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. His soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did seek a grave. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. So he raised him up to sit on his throne, and he was speaking of the resurrection of Christ. So since the Lord Jesus has been resurrected, he's been on his throne. Okay, once he ascended back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, he's been on his throne. All right? Now, that's been over 1,000 years, hasn't it? So that tells us that that reference over in Revelation 20 is an indefinite period of time. All right? So we see he's already been, according to the Word, if the Word says that he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that's when him sitting on that throne began, and it's already been 2,000 years, so I'm not expecting anything of him coming back to this earth and sitting on a throne and reigning for 1,000 years. But there's a lot of good people that are waiting for that. Be patient with them. I don't know why the Lord would show somebody like me his truth, but I'm thankful he did. I'm thankful he showed it to you. Now, with some folks, that's just all they've ever been taught. It's all they've ever heard. They can't imagine it being any other way than these good folks that's been teaching them all their lives. They can't imagine it could be any other way. But the plain teaching of the Word of God is God raised him up from the dead to sit on his throne. He's been on that throne ever since. We're waiting for him to come back. And when he does, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they're not going to rise up and sit for this earth. No, they're going to rise up, because you keep reading. Then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So those that are dead in Christ that rise first, that's where they're going, the clouds. We're going to be changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
And you know the last verse of that chapter? He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Is that a comfort to you tonight? Does that give you some patience of hope? Nothing's going to stop that from happening. When it pleases the Lord, when it pleases God for Jesus to come back, bless your hearts, it's going to happen. And it's not going to be a process, it's going to be an event. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment. And I learned in science, in college, I guess it was an astrology class or whatever, but they said, you know, we were, they actually covered the idea, the concept that a moment is the shortest increment of time. In a moment. Quicker than that. quicker than a blink. Okay. You know, Jesus said, as the lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That lightning's quick. I mean, it's what, 25,000 miles around the globe? Light travels 186,000 miles per second. It won't even take a second to get around. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15 says, think about it. See, with that sweet hope in us, which God has given us, that faith that we have, the love that he's planted within us, and to know that no matter what happens in this world, someday he's coming back, and he's going to gather up all for whom he died. There's not going to be the loss of one. You know, some people have had terrible tragedies, whether it's fire or lost at sea or whatever. That is no problem for the Lord. He made us the first time. He can make us again. It's no problem for the Lord. We can rest in Him. And so while we're waiting for Him to come again, we have plenty to do. Work of faith, labor of love, and let's be patient as we wait for Him to come again. When we're doing those kinds of things, and when our heart is right with the Lord, we're looking to Him first and foremost, serving Him above all else. Blessed hearts, there's every reason for us to be loving, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, and all those other things the fruit of the Spirit lay out for us. May God help us to remember this precious word. Set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We've got to make our way in this world. We've got things that drag us back into reality, and we have to take care of it, you know. But when we set our affection on things of affection, the whole of it, not just with an S, but set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth.
Amen.
Bless your hearts. We'll be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And it'll come out like the brethren at Thessalonica did. And it's interesting to me, and I think I've said this recently, but I'll say it again. It's interesting to me that even though they were manifesting those fruit, even though they were doing the work of faith and the labor of love, the patience of hope, and their faith was sounding out to others around them, Paul was still exhorting them to grow more and more in their love toward one another. That, to me, that just says we'll never get away from the idea of needing to love better. Continue to show that love. Continue to be thankful for His love. Continue to manifest love one toward another. And then it makes sense because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." May God help us to manifest those fruit of the Spirit. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
brother was going to come sit in for me.
Okay.
Speak in for me. And then remember the ordination.
Third weekend. You said 10:30? 10:30 Easter. Anything else? Okay. Remember those we mentioned that need our prayers. Pray for one another. Need the prayers of those we love.
We should do.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the blessings of the day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together to worship. Thank you for the blessing of giving us that desire to do so. We're providing an opportunity for blessing faithful brothers and sisters to be here with you. Those of us in the present generation and continue to enjoy meeting together in this place. Father, we pray for the sick and those that are disabled, those who have special needs. Church membership, here as well as our sister churches in our family. Lord, we continue to pray for our country, pray your blessings upon it and everywhere. Especially pray for its leadership, that you can touch their hearts and convict them to rule according to truth, not according to party favorites. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.